Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and if you've been listening over the past couple of months, you know that the research into UFOs and ET and the phenomena that's been happening in the sky for the last 60-some-odd years has been part of an overall government suppression of information. And this weekend, hopefully we'll be getting to some truth with the Exopolitics Conference run by Stephen Bassett for the Paradigm Research Group. And Stephen's on the phone and is going to tell us a little bit about the X Conference that's happening this weekend. So, Steve, thanks for being here.
Happy to be with you, Alan.
So this is the third year that you're doing the conference?
The fifth.
And you're doing it twice a year, right?
No, once a year.
In
2004. All four of them have been in April, and one of them, because of some circumstances, that year was in September, but we're back. Right around tax time.
Right. You're having two of the people I presented last week in New York, Colin Andrews and Edgar Mitchell, but let's go over some of the highlights of what you feel makes this conference something that people must see if they're involved in this field.
Well, for most people, the phenomena has been about sighting events and the kind of almost science fiction kind of stuff for many, many years. Mm-hmm. But this conference is about the politics. It's primarily, and then about the phenomenology second. And it was the first conference set up to look at everything from that point of view, which is to say that the issue will be resolved politically. If the government has imposed a truth embargo, then mm-hmm. it's not a matter of science anymore. It's a matter of politics. It's a matter of changing the actual formal policy. And that is where we've been heading since 1991. And I got in the field in 96 and created the X Conference in 2004, 8 years later. And the motto of the conference is, it's not about lights in the sky, it's about lies on the ground,
right,
which is what it's about. Right. And that's important because we've been going at it for a long time and people have mounted a great deal of evidence on that. Evidence doesn't matter.
The government does not seem to be budging. I mean, when I saw you last in New York, you were hoping that Obama in his first 100 days in office would leak mm-hmm. something. It doesn't seem to have happened, and the government seems to be as clam tight shut as it's ever mm-hmm. been. Is that true, or is there some linkage happening?
Not quite. Of course, I'm. Yeah. Paying close attention to the average person, and for a person just going through the daily routine, watching the news, maybe doesn't seem like anything is changing. But in fact, there are quite a few things happening. And I will repeat what I've said now dozens of times in radio interviews, that the window of opportunity for disclosure is open as wide as it's ever been, and that the administration needs to make the decision to jump through that window hopefully within the first 100 days, because that would give them the maximum benefit with the minimum amount of downside. Now, I have to confess, this administration started off with an extraordinary array of immediate domestic issues, and I can understand that it's taken a while to deal with this stuff. So we're kind of spotting them an extra 30 days, and so we'll say that, look, they need to get it done by the end of May. If they don't, then things are going to happen. One, the pressure on the administration is going to increase dramatically from groups like mine, Paradigm Research Group, and others.
What kind of pressure can you put on the government, first of all, when they're involved in so many other things? And I don't know how you're going to put pressure on them.
Yeah, easy. We have the documents and the evidence confirming the connection between a number of people in the administration and the UFOET issue going back to 93. Mm-hmm. And while the press has really not gotten involved in those documents, has not really addressed that issue, they are certainly getting more involved in the issue. The media coverage of the phenomena has expanded dramatically in the last year and a half, 2 years. So they're ready to run with these stories, and so we're going to really start feeding this evidence to the means media about the connection between very important people in the administration and this issue. And at some point, the press are going to start asking these important people questions that are going to have a very difficult time answering.
You mean people like John Podesta, who... And so I don't know why you're not doing that now or sending that out to the media now, saying, look, John Podesta is very much aware of the UFO situation, and are you waiting for him to come forth and volunteer that information?
No, it's strategic. It's really strategic. We had been pushing that issue quite strongly all the way through 2008 because of the interminable campaign that was going on. In which Hillary Clinton was certainly a major factor. So we pushed pretty hard there. The press didn't want to get into that. They had so much else to cover in terms of the campaign. Lord knows there was plenty going on. I don't know how many debates they had and all these candidates. Started out with about 40 candidates. But nevertheless, we pushed it pretty hard. But when Obama was elected, I'd made the tactical decision to change course a little bit. I lost the facts on Washington. Facts on Washington.org, to just get the people to send their sentiments. Send the administration a clear message that you want this information. You want this embargo ended. You want the ET technology, to whatever degree we have developed, out and available for all of our needs. And that was just basically simple petitioning of the new president. And then on the other area, we backed off pressing the press about the Rockefeller Initiative and the connections to the Obama administration, to give them an appropriate amount of time to deal with what they have to deal with. In other words, to give them a little slack. They have a full plate. They're coming in with major economic issues. They have to be addressed immediately. So we're kind of giving them a little slack and saying, look, okay, we understand what you're dealing with. However, get it done in the first 100 days. Well, the first 100 days won't be over until the end of this month. Mm-hmm. They have 2 weeks to go, but again, I'm adding another 30 days on because I think they justified in this case. But then, when that period is over, we'll call it a grace period, then we're coming back at them again, but this time with a vengeance. And this time we're not in a campaign where people are potentially going to be president or potentially going to be Secretary of State or the CIA director. They are the Secretary of State and the CIA director and the president. And so when we come back at him again this time, I think the press is going to take up the mantle on this.
So refresh us a little bit about who John Podesta was and the other person that was also involved directly with Clinton's UFO investigations.
In a few words, John Podesta was a key advisor on national security and other matters to President Clinton at the time that Lawrence Rockefeller contacted the administration with a desire to write a report and a letter to the president, really calling for the Clinton administration to release all of the UFO documents, mm-hmm. all of the evidence they have, which would have ended the truth embargo forthwith.
Right.
In other words, he was entreating President Clinton to be the disclosure president. He continued in that role as advisor, taking some actions with respect to classification schema and what have you, all the way through that first term, and then became his chief of staff in the second term. And then after the administration was over, publicly called for the release of all UFO documents, personally called for it. In fact, twice at the National Press Club, you can actually see that video, at least a portion of it, him calling for this, if you Google John Podesta UFO. The actual chief of staff during the Rockefeller Initiative went on for 2.5 years with Leon Panetta, who is now the CIA director.
Oh, right, course, Panetta, that's right, yes. Right.
Leon Panetta. And of course, President Clinton's wife, Hillary Clinton, is now the Secretary of State. She was fully aware of the Rockefeller Initiative, but actually involved in it. We have the documents confirming that as well. Bill Richardson was a very close friend of the Clintons, a key member of the administration. He served as Secretary of Energy. He served as ambassador to the UN and was in the Congress during the early part of the administration. We're pretty sure he knew about the Rockefeller Initiative. Of course, he went on to run for president, but he also went on to publicly call for a review of the Roswell events and the release of information there, because he doesn't believe the government's explanation holds water. he almost became Secretary of Commerce. He's still the governor of New Mexico and a major figure in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. So there you have, just for openers.
Right, but Clinton still denies the existence of UFOs. I mean, I heard him, a clip of him on some radio show where he doesn't believe Roswell ever happened. I mean, is
who's
he
this?
Just Clinton, Bill Clinton, publicly deny. I mean, maybe that's just the position he's supposed to take, is to publicly deny the existence of anything happening at Roswell or anything about UFOs. He seemed, you know, unconvinced of their existence when I heard an interview with him.
I can't speak to specific interviews. I have to hear it to
yes.
These answers to these questions, when they are rarely asked,
right,
can be very nuanced, and you have to really read between the lines. They never say what exactly is on their mind. So I have to read that. He has made a number of statements from time to time connecting to UFOs. All to some degree ambiguous. Yes,
mm-hmm.
You're right. He's never really been pinned down by anybody who's got the talk.
Well, there was an interview that George Norrie replayed from some other program. Maybe I can even find that, where they asked Clinton specifically about Roswell, and he says he has no evidence to think that that it ever happened, you know. So anyway,
let me have the evidence. We do.
Right. So, but this conference coming up, I mean, it's sort of some of the same people that's always been around. I mean, how do you feel like the political angle will be different in this conference with some of the people there, Nick Pope, Michael Sala? What approach will be different in the presentations that these people are taking?
Boy, it's hard to go there. I mean, I haven't heard the presentations, but I can tell you the frame this year's conference versus others. First of all, we have a new administration, an extraordinary new president. We've had an extraordinary election. This president has been calling for open, transparent government since the early part of his campaign. He has put people in his administration that are connected back to the UFO issue through the Rockefeller Initiative. So the circumstances of this conference are unlike any other that we've held. The circumstances of this time are unlike any other, which is why I say disclosure could be very close at hand.
Mm.
We have Edgar Mitchell coming back. He gave a keynote last year, which was a bit more of a keynote speech. It was more of a larger issue speech. Now he's coming back to give a 90-minute lecture with questions covering the entire intersection of his life with this issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did talk about that.
He's never really done it. He's never really
he was born in Roswell, you know, Edgar Mitchell.
Sure. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. But he's going to get into that whole, not just the intersection, that includes the media's reaction to what he's done and how it's gone for him in the 10 years and his thoughts about disclosure and post-disclosure world, all that. Pretty significant lecture. And then a lot's been happening in the UK. Documents have been released, citing reports, controversies. And Nick Pope's been in the middle of all that. He's coming over to talk about that. Roger Lear has had a significant breakthrough in his research into contactees. Mm-hmm. And he'll be announcing this new development at the conference for the first time. Mm-hmm. And Graham Hancock, coming over from Europe, who is from UK, who is a brilliant man, a great speaker. He doesn't speak often, and it's kind of a rare appearance for him, but Graham's written a number of books. He sold over 5 million books, so we're pleased to have him. He's going to be talking about ancient astronauts and modern shamanism. I mean, you can see there's a sophistication here, but more importantly, the atmosphere is different. And then the press conference that we hold afterwards at the National...
Yeah, what happens at the press conference? That's going to be Monday, April 20th at the National Press Club, 10 a.m.
10 a.m. In the First Amendment room.
Uh-huh.
We got the larger room. Well, again, I've contacted the press now several times, and they know that Mitchell is coming, and he's going to be taking questions on his assertions on this issue for the first time at the NPC.
Right.
Nick Pope will be taking questions for the first time.
I think there was a caller on the line. Is that true from the preset there? You said there's a caller on the line? Oh, okay. Thanks. Okay, go ahead. Continue. Yeah, sorry.
And that's new. So he's been in the news lately. And then Milton Torres, the pilot who was ordered to shoot down a UFO in 1997 while on duty in the UK for the Air Force. Had not really spoken about this event, but when the UK released the report of that event, he was asked about it, and he told what happened, and he's going to be talking about that and taking questions for the press at the NPC for the first time. And then Roger Lear will represent briefly, he will announce his findings, his recent findings, and take questions on that. So we have a pretty amazing press conference. I'm hoping the press will jump in this time, and they may very well, and we could have a lot of media there. That would be nice.
Well, tell me, though, in the past years, has the press shown up at the club? I mean, what happens at the National Press Club? What's its purpose? And
well, it's and a press conference.
Yeah, but who comes to that?
I mean, you invite the entire political media to come, and anybody can come who wants to come, and generally not many do. I mean, we've had some coverage. We've had some write-ups. We've been in the Washington Times, Washington Post, had some videos, but it's not huge.
Well, what do you hope to accomplish? Edgar Mitchell's going to be at this press conference on Monday.
Yeah.
And what would you love to have happen at this press conference?
I would like to have a lot of press there asking intelligent questions of these men. It's that simple. But what you're trying to accomplish is by holding the X conference near Washington, by inviting all the members of Congress, by inviting the political press, you are letting them know you're here. You're letting them know you're not going away. You're bringing the issue to their doorstep. You're making it harder and harder for them to step around it. And, of course, by then holding the press conference at the National Press Club, which is, of course, one of the key centers of media in Washington, where every major media person has been at one time or another, and many of them belong to, again, you're bringing the issue to their doorstep. You're making it impossible for them to overlook it. So that's what we're accomplishing by doing this.
Well, that's the amazing thing about the whole UFO situation. It seems to be something that is not going away. For the last 60 years, there's a big flare-up every few years, and the press does something with it, and then it dies down. But it keeps building every time the issues or the media allows these news items to flare up. They seem to flare up in bigger and bigger ways. So I guess you're just looking for a tipping point almost. So people will eventually say, okay, what's really going on here? And
well, if you look at this issue, it has the longest news cycle of almost any issue in the world today. It's not a fly-by-night. It is a long-term matter. It has been examined, looked at, and written about for 60 years. And the reason for that is it's true. It's real. It's not an illusion. It's not a joke. It is real. There really are ETs here. The government does know about it. The majority of American people know that the government knows about it. So you've got a massive news story with huge implications that normally would be fully out in the open, but the government has committed itself to preventing that. But that doesn't alter the implication and the implicate power. So, of course, it remains in the news. It continues to move forward. It continues to expand. It's reality. It's what is.
I mean, part of the problem that's been talked about, and even by you, is like, if this does come out, what about the immunity for the politicians that have allowed abductions to occur, you know, lots of illegal activities involving the invasion of the American public's privacy? I mean, there's a lot going on that needs to be looked at once this issue shows up. And
it will be, but it's not priority one. Most of the people that were most deeply involved in the truth embargo are gone now.
Who are those people?
Well, the individuals who were faced with the UFO phenomena when it exploded in 1947 on the scene. These are the politicians, the president, members of the military, the new members of the emerging intelligence world. Most of them were in their, the high-level people were in their 40s, 50s. That was 60 years ago. They're all gone. So there's nothing you can do about them. And then, more importantly, a good deal of what the government did will be found perfectly legal under national security, the aegis. So, you know, the issue of how are we going to count, we need to know the truth, and we need to know the history. But in terms of sort of assigning the blame and getting And I don't think that's going to happen, or much of that's going to happen, but I do want to know the history of what happened, and so we're going to encourage people to come forward.
So do you think one day Obama will just give a news conference and say, guess what, we have this ongoing secrecy, and now it's time that the American people hear about this? Is that what your vision of the disclosure? Yes.
But, well, in your paraphrasing it, I would say it differently. But yeah, it's going to. I believe he will. And if he doesn't, I believe there's a good likelihood that another nation will do that before the end of the year.
Right. But you're going to put pressure on him by bringing. I mean, if that doesn't happen by the end of what did you say, May, for instance, you're going to start to circulate documents to members of Congress. Well, what's your approach, if you don't mind?
We're going to do a full court press of the political media and the Congress, putting the documents, putting the evidence out there over and over again, which links the key members of the administration to the issue until the press finally starts asking them about those relationships, which they can deny. I mean, they can say, no, it's not true, but then they'll have to account for the documentary evidence. They can refuse to comment, which will only increase the media's interest. They can, or they can actually give an appropriate answer, which, of course, will be very significant.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. They got three choices.
No, I'm just curious because you are the most passionate person I've met on this subject of disclosure. Why is it such an issue for you, do you feel?
Well, the presence of the ETs in our world is the most important issue in the world and has been for some time, whether it's been so acknowledged. The mechanisms by which we've addressed that reality have, if they weren't dysfunctional at the beginning, have become dysfunctional and now are a serious problem for the Republic. The potential benefits of ending this embargo and getting to the ET tech and developing what we can from it, assuming we haven't already developed it in 60 years, the potential benefits to the host of problems we face are huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you can't get passionate about an issue like that, then you definitely don't want to be in politics or activism or advocacy.
Right, but it seems like there's something like, I'm just guessing, more personal somehow, like it's like it's a personal agenda in a good way, but it's like, it's a personal passion, it's not just, you know, a selfless passion, or maybe it is, I don't know.
You have to, I don't think anybody, if you're smart, you don't pursue an issue that you don't personally identify with.
Yeah, so what's your talk about that personal identification. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Well, again, let's put it in the context of the civil rights. I think many of the people that pursued the civil rights advocacy personally were offended by racism. They were offended by segregation, and they felt it was hurting the country, and they took that personally. And so their advocacy certainly had a personal passion involved. I'm offended by the truth embargo. I'm offended by the national security structure or the secret empire that we've built. I'm offended by many of the actions of the American government. I'm offended by what's happening to the country and the future of the country, which I happen to think is an admirable country in many ways. It could be a hell of a lot better. And so, yeah, I am a citizen of this country. I live here. I operate under its laws. I take some responsibility when we go and do bad things. I mean, I'm a citizen. We vote for these leaders, and if they take us to war, if they do bad things, I kind of take that personally. So it's that kind of personal connection. I'm not a contactee if you're looking for that. I've never seen a UFO.
I didn't think you were a contactee because I thought, I don't know. It's just really, I haven't met anyone with the kind of drive for political change around this issue, and I know a lot of people in the field, but I do think it's probably the most important thing that has faced humanity in the history of our existence. So,
it's the most profound transitional event of all time, and once you sense that, once you understand that, it's easy to get passionate about it. I've drawn a blank. The fellow that invented the light bulb.
Thomas Edison. Yes.
Edison knew the implications of of that. He knew the implications of the electric light, if it could be perfected. He knew the impact it would have on the human condition. And so, not surprising, that creates a passion. So you get a passion for your work. I have a quote that I came up with years ago, which I occasionally use. It's this. The intellectual passion occurs at the intersection of fact and implication. So when you
fact
have
important
facts, yeah, if you have facts, right, they have enormous implication. If the facts of something show enormous implication, meaning the implication line and the fact line cross, so that the facts and the implication are both very powerful, then you get that generates passion. Right. And so that's what's going on with me.
Well, no, I totally agree with everything you're saying, but I feel in a sense it's a slow process. I mean, the paradigm of ETs in the world needs to be assimilated over time by the general psyche of the global population. It's not something that Well, it's starting to, but you know, some people, I agree, think disclosure is actually in the process of happening, but it's probably a 200-year process that some of us have caught on to earlier than the rest of the race. But it's not
revelation. That's not disclosure. Disclosure is a formal act. It has a capital D. We self-define it. Disclosure, as we use it in the advocacy work, is the acknowledgement of the ET presence by the governments of the world. ETs are here, folks. That's disclosure. Mm-hmm. And the acclimatization process, the ETs, goes back 10,000 years. And in the last 60 years, has accelerated exponentially so that now 50% of the American people think ETs are here, 80%, 90% think the government's lying. UFO is the second most recognized acronym in the world. The issue is known throughout the world. 10 top grossing movies of all time of the top 31 are about extraterrestrials, and on and on and on and on. So I can assure you that the public is fully and totally aware of the concept of extraterrestrials. They are very much aware of the presence of extraterrestrials or the possibility of that. It's
still shocking, though. It's still a shocking revelation, even if you've been exposed to, and I have seen UFOs, the fact that public acknowledgement will come out and say, guess what, we're not alone. It's shocking to me, and I've been preparing for this. I'm well aware that they do exist, and it's like, it's this, the revelation of it, or I think might have to come before disclosure, or you're saying disclosure comes and then it's the assimilation of that knowledge, but perhaps...
Well, no, we're already assimilating, but there disclosure opens up all the doors. It's not It's not being taught in the schools because we haven't had disclosure. It's not being funded by research-granting institutions and philanthropists because we haven't had disclosure. It's not being covered in the media because we haven't had disclosure. We don't have the history of it. We don't know the history of this involvement in the ET reality because we haven't had disclosure. Disclosure is a block. It's a barrier. That barrier has to be lowered. That doesn't mean the issue hasn't been engaged. It doesn't mean we don't have evidence. It doesn't mean there hasn't been 10,000 published books and magazines. Yeah, there have been. But acknowledgement by the government is absolutely critical. In other words, what happened in the civil rights movement? In one fundamental way, the goal of the civil rights movement was to get the U.S. government to formally acknowledge the full equality of people of color. Because until the government formally and legally acknowledged it, that meant that a great deal of things that ought to happen aren't going to happen. And that didn't mean the government didn't know what civil rights were. It didn't mean the government didn't have issues, thoughts, or even have written laws about segregation. But until they fully acknowledged this inequality, then it wasn't going to go where it had to go. And that's, of course, what happened in the 60s with the Civil Rights Act.
Right, so but that was also 200 years of building it up from the end of slavery, which was an awful thing, to the 60s. I mean, that was a huge process to go from the 1860s to the 1960s, right? I mean,
well, actually, the process of acknowledgement of all races as being equal goes back 10,000 years. We have been working on the issue of racism, racial superiority, and since the flood. And we have been dealing with the ET since the flood. And so they really, we've been trying to deal with both of these issues for 10,000 years. Everything is coming to a head now because that's the nature of the modern world. The rise of incredibly sophisticated technologies, global communications, the internet, books, publications, television, is such that all of the lingering and unresolved matters that the human race has been facing are suddenly rushing towards resolution, and not surprisingly.
And so do you feel like the ETs will then not just be a presence, but they'll be very much a part of sharing a technology? Or that's not something you're concerned with? You just want to say, hey, they're here.
My concern is I have no control over what the ETs do. But if one were to ask me, what do you think is the relationship between disclosure and contact? My view is that disclosure comes before contact, open contact. Open contact, the kind of, you know, where the government is saying, oh, well, we're meeting with the extraterrestrials next week to discuss this or discuss that. That can't happen until disclosure. The self-acknowledgement process has happened. And so disclosure not only leads to getting that technology out of those deep government labs and possibly, available to us, it also may mean that contact, formal open contact, may be close at hand as well. So there's a big, there's a lot at stake here, a lot involved.
Well, of course, people say Eisenhower already had that formal contact and, you know, he was given the choice to make it public or not. And so, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. I just think there's an integration within the psyche of humanity, like Carl Jung says, the UFOs symbolically represent the unknown to the modern psyche, but we need to symbolically incorporate it before politicians and the rest of the public will integrate it as a phenomenal fact of existence.
I believe we have. That is why those movies are so popular. That's why Star Trek is the most popular television series of all time, and that Star Wars is the most popular movie series of all time. We've already fully inculcated it.
Well, we haven't. I mean, I know what you're saying, but it's the difference between seeing a building on fire and watching the World Trade Center collapse. I mean, you can see all this thing in movies, but it does prepare you, in a sense, for the harsh reality of an existence of something like that, like, you know, the World Trade Center. It's right there in front of you. So yes, it's one step, but still, I think there'll be quite a shock and hysteria, and maybe the movies are the only way to prepare us for it. I guess, and of course, what you're doing and talking about it. So I think it just seems to be all in the works, and of course, we're all trying to push for this. We want to come forward now, but I think we're in the process of this revelation. I mean, it's just my opinion, and it'd be great if Obama came out one day and said, guess what? But I don't see a hint of that happening. I'd love for it to happen, and I think we all have to just keep pushing. Yeah.
Well, you said you don't see a hint, but then how do you account for the appointments of Clinton and Panetta, the selection of Podesta as the transition chief, the attempt to appoint Richardson, the call for open, transparent government, the presidential directive reversing the restrictions on the Presidential Records Act by previous President Bush, the presidential memoranda calling for a reforming expansion of the Freedom of Information Act, the presidential memorandum calling for the various agencies of the government to stop operating on the basis of open transparency, the major backing of Obama and his think tank by George Soros, the billionaire whose number one political issue is open transparency. These are a lot of hints, Alan.
Right. Is George Soros open to the UFO presence?
He hasn't publicly said anything, but then the guy that he backed, he's the principal funder of the Center for American Progress, which was founded by John Podesta, who went to the National Press Club and said, we need to release all the UFO records. I don't recall George Soros saying anything publicly disavowing that.
Oh, I see. So he's back John Podesta, huh? So it
seems like $7 million.
John Podesta is really a key figure here. Have you had any dialogue with him?
No, but he is a key figure.
Would he want to come to the con? I guess he's too busy. It would be too public.
He's been invited many times, but you see, the problem that the inside people face is that whatever their sentiments, the way the game is played, the way things are set up, whatever their sentiments, whatever they plan to do, they can't break bread with us.
Because it would look, it's forcing their hand.
It exposes the issue and jeopardizes their secret plans or their intentions. That's not good. It's not the way we need to operate, but that's the way it is. And if the result of the ghettoization of the issue by the government, formal ghettoization of the issue, for 60 years, so they can't break bread with us. Let's hope they agree to break bread with us after disclosure. But you never know. You never know. We'll have to see.
So we're hoping for disclosure at least sometime this year. I mean,
We want it as soon as possible because we need it. We need it now. I'm saying that window is the widest it's been in a long time. Does that mean they'll go through that window? No. I mean, the governments are capable of being unbelievably stubborn.
Holding out,
but eventually they lose when it comes to fundamentals. They will disclose. Whether they want to or not, they will disclose. They have no choice.
What was the situation with Paul Hellyer last year? He spoke at your conference. He was the former foreign minister for Canada. And what did he say about the particular Canadian government coming forward and talking about disclosure from their point?
He didn't talk about the Canadian government's likelihood, but he did indicate that he believes this is real, that he thinks it's real, and he thinks that it's time for us to know the truth about it. So he lent his legacy and his career to the issue. He didn't make a specific demand of the Canadian government. That doesn't mean he won't in the future. He just finished his book, and once that book is out, he's going to be more freed up. You may hear more from Paul pretty soon. But he's out there along with other people, you know, talking the talk.
One more other thing I wanted to ask you about the conference. It seems like there's a little focus on crop circles this year with Colin Andrews coming in and also the documentary What on Earth with Susan Taylor and Susan Bauman. Why did you include crop circles into the... I mean, I think it's somehow related.
I believe that crop circles are extraterrestrial in origin. Some of them are. Many of them are. A lot of them are. It's a wonderful phenomena. It has exopolitical implications. And I try to provide, you know, we don't want this to be a political seminar. So we do try to provide phenomenological components for the conference. We're getting into that a little bit. We're also getting into contact. We have Joe Montaldo there who's going to be talking about contactees and his work with that issue. He's developed a large organization, ICAR. And then Roger Lear is dealing with the contactee issue and his research. So the phenomenology is important.
True. But also Colin Andrews has talked about a lot of government cover-ups on his end. And he was actually, he talked about it last week in New York, how he was pressured to take certain documents off his website because it would reveal too much information. So
he'll be getting into some political stuff as well. So he'll be kind of in both a foot in both sides of the... issues, both political and phenomenological, and that's cool. So, that's why we brought that in. And crop circles are kind of fun. They're always fun to look at.
Yeah, no, I personally were in the crop circles last year, and I do think they are the communication that the ETs are talking. They're not going to talk to us in language, but they are going to talk to us in symbols, and geometry seems to be those kind of symbolic language of the universe. There's something, and I predict the 2009 season for the crop circles will be the best ever. It seems like everything has been leading up to that. 2008, where I was in England, was fantastic with the Pi formation. There was a form, if you're well aware of that, right? The formation in the irrational number Pi showed up. There was also a 2012 formation. There was also an 8 formation, Mobius strip in the shape of an 8 on August 8, 2008. And for me, that was actually a dialogue, a mental dialogue the circle makers, whoever they are, and I think they are non-human, were making with the consciousness of the planet. Everyone was thinking 8, 8, 8. They gave us an 8, but they gave us more than an 8. They gave us a very complex 8. So there, and Colin talks about this kind of psychic mental dialogue that seems to be occurring with these forces and the human vehicle itself. So it's a fantastic thing. I'm really happy you did include that in the discussion. And also, I think Richard Dolan is, his latest book is coming out, isn't it?
Right, second book of the trilogy, UFO National Security State. Richard's has been at every one of the ex-conferences.
Yes.
His work is very important.
Yeah, he's one of the best researchers out there. So I'm really excited about this conference. Nick Pope, Michael Sala, who's flying in from Hawaii, Paula Harris, who's very well known. Who's Jeff Peck and Victor Vigiani?
Well, Victor Vigiani is Exopolitics Canada, and Jeff Peckman is the fellow that got a lot of press for his Denver ballot initiative that he was working on last year. Ended up on the David Letterman show. So he's an activist. We're bringing him in to talk about that.
Oh, and a debate between you and John Alexander. Who's John Alexander?
John Alexander is a man with a very distinguished career in military intelligence. He also dealt with the paranormal.
Why are you debating him? What's the debate it says on
John has engaged us. He's engaged the issue. He's gone to conferences. He's spoken to conferences. He's stated views about the issue. There's disagreements between us about the many parts of the issues. And so we thought it'd be fun to literally debate everything on the table, and just he's kind of an insider. I mean, he was a military intelligence guy. He led the special service teams, ops teams in Vietnam. He was involved in he knew about the remote viewing programs. He's been involved ever since he left the military extensively in arms development or non-lethal weapons development. He's a highly connected guy, PhD, who has publicly engaged the UFO issue as well for years. Nobody really knows why, frankly.
Well, he doesn't believe in the UFO. What's his basic angle? I'm just curious.
It's hard to sum up. He won't deny that there's an ET presence, but he feels that he's not too critical of our views on ET presence. However, he believes the government knows far less than we think it does, and he doesn't think there was a truth embargo. So there's a huge difference there.
It sounds like he's actually a government, he's still working for the government. It sounds like that's the kind of, anti-disclosure information the government likes to put out there. I mean,
maybe that could be, but no one knows for sure. So he's an interesting guy, very interesting, very smart. So we're going to talk, I would call it the insider versus the activist.
Because every time there's a sighting and those F-16s follow those UFOs until they disappear, there's footage they're taking. There's video footage of every one of those chases. And the government has a huge
file. It never sees the light of day.
Yeah, of course not. I mean, that was a thing a couple of years ago. Danny Sheehan gave a great presentation at your conference about going into the back rooms and digging up some of those documents and finding some of the... the pictures of the crafts with the kind of foreign letters that and language that was on there. I mean,
that was a rare. It doesn't happen. That happens very, very rarely. It was one of those odd things and changed his life. But you could FOIA gun camera footage from chase planes until you're blue in the face. You'll never get any because that they can never let out until disclosure takes place. Then they can show all they want. But that's part of the game.
Well, it looks like a very exciting conference. Thank you for taking the time here. This is the X Conference 2009, April 17th to the 19th, and it's going to be at Hilton in Gaithersburg, Virginia. And how far from Washington is that?
Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Gaithersburg, Maryland.
The Beltway, about 8 miles or so. It's in the Washington metro area. Website is x-conference.com. All the information is there. You can register on site, though it's pretty late now. I think most people should. You can register on site because it is late, and so I would recommend people do that if they'll come. We start Friday morning.
You start Friday morning, and if people just if they get to Washington, there's some kind of pickup service, right? That you're doing from different metro stations in Washington?
If they're on the metro. If they're on the metro and they go to Shady Grove, Red Line, the final stop, they can get the free shuttle from the hotel, the Hilton Hotel, by calling the Hilton Hotel in Gaithersburg.
Oh.
That's what I was referring to. There's free parking at the hotel. The hotel is filled up Friday, Saturday nights, but the Holiday Inn is backing us up, and that's just two blocks away.
Oh, I see. Okay, great. And to register at the conferences, how much for people?
Day pass, I think, Friday day pass is 60 and Saturday and Sunday day passes are 80 each. A 3-day pass is 190.
Oh, that's very reasonable for the information that people are going to get at this conference. So, thank you, Stephen. And your website is theparadigmresearchgroup.org.
I've
been talking to Stephen Bassett. That's the best way to reach you. And also on your website, you do the latest disclosure developments that will be happening.
I try to keep as abreast as possible. There's a lot going on, a huge amount of material there, and links to all kinds of other groups and initiatives. Go to paradigmresearchgroup.org. It'll keep you busy for months.
I know. And the press conference on Monday, April 20th, will be videotaped, but not, it won't be C-SPAN, will it?
If C-SPAN comes, it will be. But boy, getting them to come to this stuff is so hard. They're totally screened off. But we will film it, and we may get it out on the website.
I'd love to come down for that. Anyway, I'll be in touch with you, but I really appreciate you taking the time and the passion and the work you do to make this issue public. It's the most important thing in human history, and it takes this kind of dedication for something like this to happen. So,
I appreciate that. I wish it didn't take so much dedication. I wish the government would just do it because it's the right thing to do. But, you know, governments seem to have a real problem doing the right thing. Have you noticed, Alan?
And it must feel that way to you because you feel like a one-man band. I mean, you sort of single-handedly taken on this political subject. I mean, people have been researching, you know, their own private agendas or their own personal ufology research, but no one's taken on the government the way you have.
Well, but more and more people are. I mean, the movement is growing. It's becoming international. So I'm not a one-man band anymore, believe me. There's plenty of people involved, plenty of groups. Many of them will be at the conference, and there are many other websites. So think of it as a movement, all right?
Right.
It's a movement.
Right. Have you connected with Leslie Keen and James Fox, is that?
Leslie. Yeah. I know them, and they're doing good work, too.
Right, because they've been approaching, doing press conferences and all that. So, yeah, I think it is a movement, and I think it's going to pay off at one point. We'll see. Hopefully, I know in our lifetime, in the next year. Well, I look forward to it. So I'll put this out there as well, and I'll be in touch with you. So thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, Alan.
Okay, talk to you soon. Okay.
I'll be in touch, too. Bye-bye.
Okay. I've been talking to, that was Stephen Bassett for the Paradigm Research Group, and there was this thing I found on the radio. I'm just going to pull this up where I mentioned this to Stephen Bassett about Bill Clinton and Bill Clinton talking about the Roswell event. So I'm just going to find this. Oh, here. This is a clip of Bill Clinton talking about the UFO incident at Roswell.
It was not about politics.
Before we go, Bubba, from one Bubba to another, Bubba here has wanted to ask the president something for how many years now? But here he is. President Clinton is on the phone with you, Bubba. Ask your question.
Now, you're going to probably think I'm the biggest dork on the planet, but when will we, if we will ever know, the truth about UFOs?
Well, I tell you, it's interesting that you said that, because when we celebrated the anniversary of that event out in New Mexico, you remember that?
Yes.
I actually got all the government documents and read them, and I'm convinced there wasn't a UFO there. On the other hand, you shouldn't give up hope, because just a couple months ago, the government physicist astrophysicist spotted a planet revolving around a star that's one of the closest to our solar system that they believe has conditions close enough to Earth that it might contain life. Unfortunately, it's 20 million light years away, so unless you, your kids, and your grandkids, and maybe one more generation are willing to take a trip for us, we'll have to wait for them to come to us. And then we'll know the truth.
Well, I'm happy. At least I got to ask my question, the dumbest question in the whole wide world to any president.
That Rockwell thing has incited the interest of a lot of people. So when we had the anniversary of it, I think it was 98, I actually went back and read the documents from the government. I'm convinced that that was a UFO, but who knows?
We'll get back to the question.
Okay, that was Bill Clinton saying he wasn't convinced that was a UFO in Roswell when he got the government documents. Of course, many people think that Bill Clinton does know that there was a UFO, but he did sound pretty convincing that, of course, he's not being told the truth, because as many people, including Steve Bassett, has said, this is beyond... This has begun the knowledge of presidents. It's being kept secret by forces in the government that are a secret government, and that's for sure. There are powers in the government that do keep their secrets, and presidents are not even allowed in there. So part of what Stephen Bassett and the exopolitics movement is trying to do is force the hand of politicians to bring out the truth. And I recommend anyone interested in this coming down April 17th, 18th, and 19th to Gaithersburg, Maryland, to the Hilton there, to the X Conference 2009. There'll be Colin Andrews, Alfred Weber, who actually coined the term exopolitics, Roger Lear, who's a doctor who has removed alien implants from people, and Michael Sala, who's written a lot about the government involvement in extraterrestrials, and Nick Pope, who's a researcher from England. There's a whole list. I would just recommend going to paradigmresearchgroup.org and looking under X Conference. Also on my website, newrealities.com, there's a whole section. If you go there and look at the top menus under X, you can see all the interviews I've done with different researchers on the whole subject, including abductees, Jim Sparks, people who've regressed other people, like Yvonne Smith. There's a whole subculture. If people are interested in this work, they can just email me at newrealities@earthlink.net, and I welcome any comments. So I'm going to end with this song, which was actually written by a couple of UFO abduction people, called The Night Before the Future by Duke Williams and the Extremes. So thanks for listening. This is Alan Steinfeld. Check my website, newrealities.com. I was talking tonight to Stephen Bassett, the head of the Paradigm Research Group and the Exopolitics Conference that's coming up this weekend. Email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thank you. It's The Night Before the Future.
Take it away, or just take a bed at all, staying in bed and not doing a thing but relaxing your head. Just remember, the things you see might not quite be your own.